I am happy to be here tonight. And anybody that knows me knows that I need your prayers. After all this time, I still get real nervous when I stand here. And I guess it's just never going to go away. So I pray for your help in that. And anybody that knows me know I tend to read a lot because I think the scriptures say what I want to better than I can. And some of the thoughts that were on my mind this week, one of them is one that we've probably read a lot in the scriptures. And sometimes I read a lot, but I just don't, maybe it doesn't click at the time until I hear it from somebody else. And this one was in a class at Jeff and Michelle's. They have a Sunday school class for them and the boys, and now Steve and Amy Kimball is with them too, so that's a joy for them. But the scripture that he read that morning in the Sunday school class, they were starting in Alma, and this is in the first chapter. And again, I know we've all read this, and it was about the time that the judges, that King Mosiah, that none of his sons wanted that to take over to be the king. But I'll just start at verse 1. Now it came to pass that in the first year of the reign of judges over the people, from this time forward, King Mosiah, having gone the way of all the earth, having warred a good warfare, walking uprightly before God, leaving none to reign in his stead. Nevertheless, he established laws, and they were acknowledged by the people. Therefore, they were obliged to abide by the laws which he had made. And it came to pass in the first year of the reign of Alma, in the judgment seat, there was a man brought before him to be judged, a man who was large and was noted for his much strength. And he had gone about among the people, preaching to them that which he termed to be the word of God, bearing down against the church, declaring unto the people that every priest and teacher ought to become popular, and they ought not to labor with their own hands, but they ought to be supported by the people. And he also testified unto the people that all mankind should be saved at the last day, and that they need not fear nor tremble, but that they might lift up their heads and rejoice. For the Lord had created all men and had also redeemed all men, and in the end all men should have eternal life. And it came to pass that he did teach these things so much that many did believe on his words, even so many that they began to support him and give him money. And he began to be lifted up in the pride of his heart, and to wear very costly apparel, yea, and even began to establish a church after the manner of his preaching. And it came to pass that he was going to preach to those who believed on his word. And he met a man who belonged to the church of God, even one of their teachers. And he began to contend with him sharply, that he might lead away the people of the church. But the man withstood him, admonishing him with the words of God. Now the name of the man was Gideon, and it was he who was an instrument in the hands of God in delivering the people of Limhi out of bondage. And again, I know we've read that scripture, but some of those verses seem to glare out at me more, I guess would be the word that day. And it's like I believe we can see around us in the world today. And one of the verses was the fifth verse, that we ought not to labor, that the ministry should not labor with their own hands, but they ought to be supported by the people. And as we go through, read through the scriptures, we know that's not true. And in the ninth verse, and I think we can see that where it says he began to establish a church after the manner of his own preaching. Again, I think we can see that in the world today, that churches have been established by those who are preaching their own word. But the two verses I mainly want to bring out tonight were the sixth and the seventh verse. And he also testified unto the people that all mankind should be saved at the last day, and they need not fear nor tremble, but they ought to lift up their heads and rejoice. For the Lord had created all men, and had also redeemed all men, and in the end all men should have eternal life. And I know that we believe we have a work to do here. And this last part of this seventh verse, all men should have eternal life. And to that I believe that. But it's where we're going to have eternal life at, or who we're going to have it with. And that's what I like to bring out tonight, is maybe some scriptures that will help us in this time. I don't believe, again, I'll be bringing out anything new or any new scriptures, but just the scriptures that we know and that have been given to us to help us in this time. I'd like to turn over to page in the Book of Mormon 161. This is in the second book of Nephi. I think I'll start with the seventh verse. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh, then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesses unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him and keeping his commandments. And I believe that's our desire, that we're following the commandments that the Lord has given us. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. And he said unto them, and he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, say we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And again, I believe that's something that we all believe. We need to be keeping these commandments that he has given to us to help us in this time that we have here to draw ourselves closer unto him. But going back to this 11th verse, in the last part of this, he having set the example before them. And I believe that he has given us through the scriptures and here the example to follow, and it is our responsibility to be following them and to studying them. And going over onto page 73, and this is in the third book of Nephi, in the 12th chapter. I'd like to read just maybe two verses here. And if I don't say anything else tonight, I would that we remember these two verses and put them to use and think about them as we go home. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. And he tells us here that this is his gospel, that he came into the world to do the will of his Father. Again, as it should be our desire to do his will. I'd like to turn back in the Book of Mormon to page 162. This is a continuation of that first chapter I read. This is in 2 Nephi, 13th chapter. And I think I'll start with the 24th verse here. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in that straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he has made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into that straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. And I think that's a good question for us today. I think when I look back at my life, I know after I got out of school and the first few years we were married, that I didn't attend church. Kind of isolated, but we still had services. And I remember when I was overseas, it had been probably a few years since I'd really been to church. That the Lord let me know where I needed to be. And I think when he does that, we need to listen. Because I don't think, a lot of times I just wonder then if that's what I thought, is that all I needed. But it tells us here that is not. That's just a start. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God, and a love of all men. And I believe that we all do love our Heavenly Father. And it tells us that's the first commandment, or the great commandment, that we have this love for God. And it should be evident in our lives. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And I look at myself and I wonder at this. Am I feasting upon his words, on his gospel the way I should? It's a great responsibility, I believe, to all of us. And again, they've been given to us to help us in this day and the time that we live in. It's our responsibility to be doing this. I'd like to turn just on this and read just a short scripture in 2 Timothy. In the third chapter. And I think I'll start with the 14th verse here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And again, I believe he has given us these scriptures for our help in the day and the time that we live in. He knew what we would need, what we would face here, that we would be perfect. And I believe, again, that's his desire. That's what each one of us should be working for, is this perfection in the Lord. I'd like to also turn back in the Book of Mormon. In Mosiah, and this is the first chapter of Mosiah. And I believe this shows us here the King Benjamin at this time, he knew the importance of having these scriptures. And now there was no more contention in all the land of Zarahemla among all the people who belonged to King Benjamin, so that King Benjamin had continual peace all the remainder of his days. And it came to pass that he had three sons, and he called their names Mosiah, Helorum, and Helaman. And he caused that they should be taught in all the language of his fathers, that thereby they might become men of understanding, that they might know concerning the prophecies which had been spoken by the mouths of their fathers, which were delivered them by the hand of the Lord. And he also taught them concerning the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass, saying, My sons, I would that ye should remember that were it not for these plates, which contain these records and these commandments, we must have suffered in hindrance, and at this present time not knowing the mysteries of God. For it is not possible that our father Lehi could have remembered all these things, to have taught them to his children, except it were for the help of these plates. And he having been taught in the language of the Egyptians, therefore he could read these engravings, and teach them to his children, that thereby they could teach them to their children, and so fulfilling the commandments of God, even down to this present time. I say unto you, my sons, were it not for these things which have been kept and preserved by the hand of God, that we might read and understand of his mysteries and have his commandments always before our eyes, that even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief. And I believe there it's telling us that he knew the importance of having these scriptures, as I believe that we know the importance of having these scriptures that we can go to and read and study them. And in this, I'd like to do is bring out a few scriptures that I have read lately that seem to have stayed on my mind. The first one is the Psalms 103rd, the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And sometimes I look at my life, and I'm thankful for, as it says here in the 8th verse, the mercy that the Lord has shown, and that he is slow to anger. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. For as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And to me that fear there is love, those that love him. He knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And in this verse, when I read this, he knoweth our frame. A scripture came to my mind that our brother Dan Lawrence had used when he preached at the East Local a few years ago. And this is the in Psalms 2, and this is the 139th Psalm. And this scripture here really should be uplifting to us, I believe. It should be comforting to us. But as we read it, it also should really make us think of what we're doing in our lives, the way we're really leading our lives. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art with me. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And again, I believe that scripture should be uplifting and comforting to us. The Lord knows us. He knows our thoughts before we do. He knows our needs. And he will be there for us. Going back here, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. And again, I believe that is our desire here, to keep the covenant that we have made with him. And I believe we have made a covenant before him to follow his commandments. And believe that is our desire. I'd like to turn over also into John. In the 15th chapter, and I think I'll start with the 7th verse here. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And I remember a testimony of one of my brothers, and on this 12th verse, or 13th verse, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he was just wondering if he could do this. And I don't believe we know until the time would come. But the thoughts that came to him at that time was that we need to be able to do what we can, to give of what we can. It may not be our life, but it may be something else that we have or we're able to do for them. We need to have our life in that order. And going back to the 10th verse, keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And I know as we read in the Book of Mormon that the Lord gave his life for us. Going into John, just in the third chapter reading, probably one of the most read verses there is, and this is 3:16. And a lot of times I ask myself if I can really comprehend this love that he has for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I don't think there's any greater love than that. And I wonder if I comprehend that love. And it is only through his Spirit and his love that we can, I believe, comprehend that love. And I do believe that he doesn't want to lose any of his creation. He wants each of us to be saved, but it is, again, our responsibility. And turning over to Romans in the 8th chapter. And this is probably one of my favorite scriptures. Starting with the 31st verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And just that one verse should be comforting to us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And again, to me, that should be an uplifting scripture. And no one can separate us from this love that the Lord has for us. And I believe that the only way that something like this can happen is if we separate ourselves from him. I believe he still has that love for us. But we need to be careful that we don't separate ourselves from him. I'd like to turn over into Philippians. Read a couple more scriptures here that I believe that have been given to us to help us in this time that we have here to draw us closer to our Heavenly Father. This is in the second chapter, and I think I'll start with the first verse. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And I do believe that the Lord wants us to be one to him in our love and our fellowship before him. We need to have this love before each other. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And to me, when I read that, it's telling me that I do need to be of help to others and their needs. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And I believe this 15th verse is what we are desiring, that we're working for. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And again, I probably my own worst judge, but I look at myself and I ask myself, am I shining as a light unto the world? And if we read in the Book of Mormon, and the Bible tells us that this light is Christ, and am I letting him shine through me? And am I letting him work through me? That I am of help to others, that they can see this, that I can help them in their needs. I turn also over into First Thessalonians. This is a scripture I know I use quite often, but I do believe it's speaking to us. It's giving us direction in this day and time that we live in. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need, I write unto you. This is in the fifth chapter in the first verse, First Thessalonians. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And as I look at that first verse, I believe that we know the day and the time that we're living in. We can see the things that are happening around us in the world today. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light, and with that light is Christ. We are his children. And the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And the feeling I had when I read that, this let us not sleep, is I need to be careful that I don't get caught up in the things of the world. Those things that would draw me away from our Heavenly Father, from his church. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do. And I believe that we do this. We comfort one another, edify, we instruct, and we help one another. And to me, I think it's a blessing that we can depend on each other from the Lord. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. And to me, I like this verse, that we should know them which labor among you. And I know, looking back, I'm thankful for the ministry back when we was growing up. When you can look back now, that you wonder where you'd be to not now when you were isolated like we were, if the ministry wasn't out like they are now too. And I think our prayers and our thoughts should be with them in this time. I know we have so many out, and I know it is their desire to do the will of the Lord, and it's through the love that they have for Him. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And again, I think that's so important in this day and time that we live in, that we are at peace among ourselves, that we have this love of the Lord with us. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. And I think probably this is something that I really fall short in. Do I exhort them that are unruly? Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. And I think that's so important. We need this. His Spirit has been a gift to us, and we need to let His Holy Spirit work in us and rely on it. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is true, which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And again, I think that's important. And we abstain from this, and I wonder what that to me could be, but it could be something we may say, something we may wear, something we may do. We need to be praying about the things that we do. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I believe that's where we want to be. We want to be blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I turn over into I think I'll go over to Colossians and read just a couple verses in 3 Colossians, to start with the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. And to me, there it's telling me that I need to set my affections, my mind, on spiritual things. Those things that would come from our Heavenly Father, and not the temporal things that would come from the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And again, I believe that's where we want to be. I'd like to go also into 2 Peter. And I'm first chapter, and I think I'll start with the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I believe that in the scriptures, that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Peter, that this is a growing process, that we need to keep adding on and coming closer to our Heavenly Father, that one day we will have this charity, this pure love of Christ in our lives, and it will show. I pray tonight that I may have brought us something that brings some things back to our remembrance, that would comfort us in this day and the time that we live in. I think we've seen many things happen, and we're going to probably see many more as time goes by. I'd like to close with a scripture that I heard read, and this was after the September 11th, a couple years ago now. But this has stayed on my mind, and this has been a comfort to me, and this is in the Psalms again. And this is in the 37th Psalm, starting with the first verse. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Thank you.